Moses witnesses the creation, Moses 2, the creation of light and the heavenly host, Moses 2, 3-5, Book of Moses, Essay No. 47, by the BMC team with Jeffrey M. Bradshaw. In this essay, we will explore the creation of light on day one. The nature of primordial light. In Moses 2, we read, "In the beginning I created the heaven and the earth. And I, God, said, Let there be light, and there was light. And I, God, saw the light, and that light was good." The nature of the light referred to in this verse is not explained. Several possibilities have been suggested. Some interpreters see this event as consonant with the prevailing scientific view that describes the birth of our universe as a sudden burst of light and energy of unimaginable scale. Others see this phrase as referring to a local event whereby the natural light of the sun was created. It is, of course, a given that the sun was created prior to the fourth day, though from the vantage point of Earth, no light will appear in the firmament until that later time. By way of contrast to such naturalistic readings, Hugh Nibley's interpretation seems more consistent with related scriptural passages, namely, that the light referred to was the result of God's presence. Quote, "All the time the gods had been dwelling in light and glory, but the earth was dark. This was not the first creation of light. Wherever light comes into darkness, there is light." End of quote. Consistent with this view, President John Taylor wrote that God, quote, "caused light to shine upon the earth before the sun appeared in the firmament. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness. He is the light of the sun, and the power thereof by which it was made. He is also the light of the moon, and the power by which it was made. He is the light of the stars, and the power by which they are made." End of quote. Doctrine and Covenants 88, 12, and 13 continues its description to make it clear that this light is something over and above mere physical light, as generally conceived, since it not only, quote, "enlighteneth your eyes," but also, quote, "quickeneth your understandings," governs and, quote, "giveth life to all things," and, quote, "proceedeth forth from the presence of God to fill the immensity of space." As Isaac Watts so expressed it, In vain the burning sun scatters his feeble light. 'Tis thy sweet beams create my noon. If thou withdraw, 'tis night." End of quote. The idea of God himself as the source of this special light is consistent with many ancient sources. For example, rabbinical commentators saw the light at the beginning of creation as the splendor of God himself, who, quote, "cloaked himself in it as a cloak, and it shone forth from one end of the world to the other." End of quote. Rabbinic tradition further explained that the wicked are not worthy to enjoy this light of God's presence. Therefore, it was stored away after the seventh day of creation to be enjoyed later by the righteous in the Messianic age. A corresponding light was said to fill the place of God's presence in the temple. As Margaret Barker described it, quote, "The brightness of the Holy of Holies was the light of day one, before the visible world had been created. Those who entered the Holy of Holies entered this place of light, beyond time and matter, which was the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. This was the place of glory to which Jesus knew he would return after the crucifixion, quote, the glory which I had with thee before the world was made." End of quote. In the Gospel of Thomas, Christians are described as the new high priesthood who enter the light, and Jesus instructed his disciples to say to the guardians, the cherub guardians of Eden, "We came out from the light, the place where the light came into being on its own accord and established itself." End of quote from Margaret Barker. Light and the premortal heavenly host. Some ancient sources assert that the heavenly hosts, variously described in ancient sources as including the angels, the sons of God, and or the souls of humanity, were part of the light described in connection with day one of creation. Though the idea is not widely known or appreciated today, the visual depiction of this event has a venerable history, stretching from medieval times to our own, as seen in this magnificent painting by Previati. Although a more limited version of this idea is often associated with the fathers of the early Christian church, its origin actually goes back centuries earlier to strands of Jewish tradition. For example, the Book of Jubilees reports that on the first day God created the various ranks of angels, along with, quote, "all of the spirits of his creatures, which are in heaven and on earth," end of quote. Zoroastrian texts also speak of a spiritual creation of all mankind, and also with the spirits of who chose to follow the evil Angra Manu prior to the physical creation. In contrast to later Christian thought that characterized the angels as a different race of beings than man, Joseph Smith taught that, quote, "There are no angels who minister to this earth, but those who do belong or have belonged to it," in other words, as human mortals. Note that in Hebrew the same word, malak, is used for both angel and human messenger. In Moses 2 through 4 we read, quote, "And I, God, divided the light from the darkness." In Michelangelo's sublime description of the first act of creation, quote, "The Almighty is twisted around in serpentine manner, much like the contorted position the artist himself was assuming to create the fresco." God runs his fingers through the indistinct chaos, separating the brownish obscurity of darkness from the white cloud-like billows of light. While Michelangelo linked the scene typologically to the Last Judgment, this masterful imagery is an even more fitting portrayal of the symbolism of the First Judgment, effected at the moment when Satan's rebellious hosts were cast out of heaven. From this perspective, the division of the light from the darkness might be seen as an allusion to the premortal separation of the spirits who rebelled, the darkness, and were cast out of the presence of God, the light. The tenor aria of the Archangel Uriel from Haydn's 1798, Die Schöpfung, the creation, beautifully expresses the idea, quote, "Now vanish before the holy beams, the gloomy shades of ancient night. The first day appears. Now chaos ends and order fair prevails. Affrighted by hell spirits black in throngs, down they sink in deep abyss to endless night." End of quote. A parallel to this event can be seen in the Book of Enoch, where the rebel angels, in this case the watchers rather than the premortal hosts of Satan, are sent to dwell forever in the abyss. Conclusion. During a short stint as an unmatriculated graduate student at BYU in 1980 and 81, I served as a research assistant for the prominent clinical psychologist Alan Bergen. Among other assignments, I was designated as a scribe for a short-lived series of meetings of what was called the Light Group, a small multidisciplinary group of faculty made up mostly of scientists and philosophers who were interested in the scientific and spiritual aspects of light. It was a far-fetched idea to think that such a group could come to understand the ultimate scriptural sense of light, and no headway was really made. However, it was inspiring to see firsthand a group like this, focused on something so far beyond the mundane. Quote, "A man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for?"